Open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 10 this morning. I'm going to be preaching a new sermon series this week called Love is the Key. Love is the key, and we should all love each other like Jesus loved us.
Amen.
We should all be about love. We should all love our neighbors and our enemies equally. That is the problem we have in our society today. We don't love each other like Jesus loved us. If we loved everybody like Jesus loved us, we would love them unconditionally. That's the way He loves us.
Amen.
He loves us unconditionally because He went to the cross, gave His own life, shed His own blood, so that we might be free.
Amen.
And He talks about that in Luke chapter 10. If you'll stand with me, we'll read Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 27. The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answered and said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to come this morning and teach Your word for just a moment in history. We pray, Father, that You would take this word today and, Lord, that You would implant it in our hearts that we may love everyone. And that we listen to Your word today with attentive hearts and attentive spirits. We ask You, Lord, that You'll be with those that are hurting today, those that are suffering, those that have lost loved ones this week. Father, we pray for them. We pray, God, that You would comfort their hearts.
Yes, Lord.
And we pray, Father, for all of those that have this terrible disease, that You may heal their bodies. And we ask You, Lord, that You'll be with those that are hurting spiritually this morning, Lord, that don't know You as Lord and Savior, that You may lead them to eternal life. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Who of you here can remember the lyrics to the old song the Beatles sang, "All You Need Is Love"? All you need is love. All you need is love, love, love. All you need is love. That was a catchy tune, wasn't it?
Right.
All you need is love. That's nice to hear. And if we all followed that, we would be better people. If we all could love one another. It made all the girls faint and scream, thinking they had finally found their true love in John, Paul, George, and Ringo. But if you dig a little deeper into the lyrics, I think you'll discover a very shallow type of love. A love that isn't even well defined. In fact, the world throws the word love around very casually today. We tell people we love them. We tell our neighbors we love them. But what does it really mean? Do we really love them? Do we really have the kind of love that Jesus had? Jesus is all about love. And what we're going to listen, what we're going to talk about this morning is love with our worship. In our new series this month, Love is the Key, we want to find ways that we can love God and our neighbors in a way that the man describes in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 27. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy spirit, and all thy soul. Love Him with our worship. Love Him in everything we do. I think we'll discover that the love that God talks about is far-reaching and demonstrates itself in every possible area of our lives. If we all will take love seriously and begin loving God and loving others, not only in times that we feel like loving them and they do us good, but loving them regardless of what they do. We're going to talk about the love and genuine worship. And what genuine worship, how that love is expressed. Open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. That's where we're going to spend most of our time today. In the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 8, we're going to see what these people did to help us understand what love is and what love in worship is. Nehemiah chapter 8. We don't have time to go through the whole story in Nehemiah chapter 8, but today we're going to focus on what Nehemiah did and what the children of Israel did who had been called by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. When you have the time, please read through the whole book of Nehemiah because you will certainly be blessed by it. By the time we reached our text today, much time has passed. Much effort has been made and the walls have been completed. Now the people of Israel had gathered together to worship Almighty God and give Him the honor due Him for allowing them to come out of bondage and build the walls after they've been torn down. I want you to see something very important, because we want to focus on how the love through genuine worship, by imitating what the Israelites did so many years ago. The first thing I want to talk about is genuine worship requires unity. The one thing that will destroy a church more than anything is not loving in unity. Not being together in unity, not loving each other as God loved us. That is the one thing that holds churches together. Is the love of people for each other. How they feel about each other. How they treat each other. That is the one thing we have in this chapter. That is just as true when it comes to our worship as is anything else. Thankfully, the Israelites appeared to understand this, at least at this moment in history. Nehemiah chapter 8. If you turn to Nehemiah chapter 8 and look in verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now these people, they came together. They came together with the united purpose of showing their love to God by worshiping Him. They sang songs. They danced, they had a party because they had been delivered out of bondage and had rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Amen. I want you to understand something. We as God's children should love like these people love. Love in unity. Love everybody that comes into our church. Love everybody and come with a heart of unity. Because they have been working together to fulfill God's purpose and His calling, they came together with a unified purpose of showing their love to God by worshiping Him. When the people of God are doing the work of God, they are immediately drawn into unified worship of God. We read something very similar about the early church in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 says this, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. Notice in the book of Acts, these people loved each other with a never-ending love and with a compassionate love. They loved people because they were not willing to take what they had and hold it to themselves. They gave to everybody that it was in need. That's what we should do. We should be more than willing to go out into the world and give people what we have. And what we have is a story of salvation. Amen. We have a story within our hearts. We have a testimony that we can share to everyone. That is the way, the most important way we can show the love of God is to lead somebody to saving grace in Jesus Christ. Now, what they did in the book of Acts. Isn't that amazing? They had been following God's will, no longer viewed themselves as individuals, but as one united body in Christ. Jesus prayed for this type of unity for his followers in John 17. John 17, verse 23 says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus wanted his disciples and the people around him that day to know what true love was. He says, I want them to love each other like I have loved you. I want them to love each other like I have loved them. I want them to love each other with a never-ending, compassionate love that knows no boundaries, that knows no exclusions, that knows anything that will stop them from loving somebody. Jesus loves us unconditional. And that's the way we should love everybody else. Unfortunately, that is a far cry from where many of our churches are today. But the fact that Jesus prayed this prayer means that it is only possible but probable that we will have this level of unity if we focus where God wants us to be focused, and that is on loving each other. When you and I live our lives with the exact same purpose and the same love for God, for each other, amazing things will happen in our church. Our unity in Christ is the basis for our worship. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4 says this in verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. This is Paul speaking in the book of Ephesians. He's telling them to endeavor to love one another. All through the scriptures we see how important love is. We should love each other with an unconditional love. Notice the directives that he gives for each of us to follow. This isn't about examining everyone else's life to see where they fall short. It's about doing everything we can about our own lives, our own attitudes, our own relationships to make sure that we are unified in every way. Secondly, genuine worship reveres Scripture. I want you to know that genuine worship reveres Scripture. Nehemiah chapter 8. Go back to the book of Nehemiah and let's look in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with an understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive into the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood, which they had made for this purpose. And beside him stood Mathaniah, and Shema, and Anani, and Uriah, and Hakai, and Meshai, on his right hand, and on his left, Pedai, and Mishael, and Malachi, and Hisham, and Hasbani, and Zechariah, and Mishalim. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifted up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Benaiah and Sheberai, Jamin, Akkad, Shebanath, Hadai, Meshai, Kelas, Azariah, Jobez, Hanai, Pelai, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now, I want you to understand what was going on here in this chapter. The love for Scripture these people had just oozed out of the text, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem that they love the Word of God? This doesn't seem like some show for the people or some liturgy program. It sounds to me like this group of people who are in love with God and love His Word. Can you imagine standing from early morning till noontime listening to the Word of God read? Can you imagine standing from early morning to late afternoon listening to the Word of God read? Most of us can't stand listening to the Word of God preached for 1 hour. We're ready to go at 12 o'clock. We're ready to get out of here. But these people had to listen all day long. Listen to the Word of God read all day long. They revered the Scriptures because they loved the one who wrote the Scriptures. Have you ever kept a love letter from someone dear to you, or at least known someone who did so? It's not unusual to get the letter out and read it over and over again. I found a letter this week that my wife had wrote before she passed. This is what she wrote. It's been 2 months since my dad passed. This was wrote 8 years ago. It's been 2 months since my dad has passed, and I miss him so very much. I can't wait to hold his hand again. I can't wait to see his face again. I can't wait to be with him. Well, my friend, today she's with him.
Amen.
Today she's holding his hand.
Amen.
Today she's singing in a choir with him.
Amen.
Listen, my friend, Terry wrote that letter 8 years ago. I found it this week, and it meant so much to me to find this letter. It showed me that Terry loved her dad unconditionally. She loved him with a compassionate love, and she couldn't wait to be with him. My friend, she's with him today. My friend, she is where she longed to be, with her dad. I want you to understand, I miss her greatly. I miss her more than you can imagine, but I know she's happy.
Amen.
She's at home with the Lord.
Amen.
And she's with her dad and mom today.
Amen.
I want you to know, she is where she always longed to be, and this is where she is today. The people of God do something very similar with God's Word. We love Him, and so we want to hear from Him. And the main way that God speaks to us today is through His Word. Because of that,
Amen.
We want to hear the Word of God. We want to read it. We want to share it with each other. And what we need to realize is that when the Word of God is being spoken, it is as if God Himself is speaking through His Word to each of us. When we come into a place by sharing God, the Word of God, and the kind of reverence we would give to God, when we hear it all of the voice in the same type of reverence, we need to show when we hear the Word of God being read, or when we are reading it on our own, we need to show that we love God by attaining the Word of God into our hearts and following it, by living the way that God would have us to live, by always looking to the Word of God for direction, by always looking to the Word of God for instruction, for always looking to the Word of God for guidance as we live our daily lives. Obviously, Scripture was a vital part of worship of the Israelites, and it must be a vital part of our worship also. We share our love with God and with each other when we receive His Word. Thirdly, genuine worship rekindles passion. Do you ever long for that passion you had when you first became a Christian? Listen, when we first become a Christian, we're so in love with God. We kneel on our knees, give our heart to Christ, and we feel a closeness that we never felt before to God. We're in love with Him. We love Him for what He has done for us. We love Him for how He died for us. You know what I'm talking about? When you would get all excited before you came to church because you couldn't wait to hear what God had to say. When you look forward to your time with other Christians all week long. Maybe you've never lost that passion, but the fact is that many people lose that passion. They fall out in love with God because of the world, because of the cares of the world, because of the enticements of the world. Many people get out of the will of God and live like the world lives. Many people fall out of love with God because the world throws so much at them. They get mad at God. They blame God for everything. Listen, from my experience, the best way to get back is to worship God through the reading of His Word. Look in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6. See what these people did. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen and Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Listen, my friend. Again, none of this is programmed. None of this was planned out beforehand. This is the congregation's natural way of worshiping God, or it should be supernatural way of worshiping God. Response to God, whom had brought them out of bondage and allowed them to rebuild the wall. They loved God with an everlasting love. They loved God. As we see in Nehemiah chapter 8, they loved God, they worshiped Him, they lifted up their hands and bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord thy God. No one is putting on airs or trying to impress anyone else. No one is going through the motions hoping that no one else can see that their heart isn't really expressed through their outward expressions. These are people who are passionate about God, and they are not ashamed to express their love for Him. It reminds me of the great passage in the book of Revelations. Open your Bible to the book of Revelations chapter 5. We see here in Revelations chapter 5, after all of the Christians have been raptured home, we see this as a symbol of the love that we should have with God. Revelation chapter 5, look in verse 11 through 13. The Bible says, And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. Now notice what they say. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which was in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Listen, our worship here on earth is preparation for our worship in heaven. I look forward to that day when we, along with the voices of the multitude of angels, will lift up our voices to God, our King, and Jesus, our Savior. I can't wait for that day when I will meet my wife once again. I can't wait for that day when I will be with her around the throne of God to live forever and ever. Listen, I look forward to the day when I will be able to sing in the choir. I can't sing very good now, but I can guarantee you when I get there, I'm going to have a voice like an angel.
Amen.
I'm going to be able to sing and sing and sing praises to God.
Amen.
I look forward to those days we're presently experiencing when we come together and offer our praise to the Lord. He hears today just as He will hear us in the future. We worship now with a passion of our hearts, and we will worship then with that passion fully realized. Finally, genuine worship restores joy. Go back to the book of Nehemiah chapter 8 and look in verse 9 through 12. And Nehemiah, which is the Tishrite, and Ezra the priest of the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that had been declared unto them. This passage is an indication of how much of what passes for worship today. While there is a time for seriousness, there is a time for silent moments before God. There is a time for weeping. There's a time for crying. There's a time for sorrow. But there's a time for rejoicing. Amen. There's a time to praise God for all things. Praise God for what He has done. Praise God for how He has brought us from the pits of sin unto the place that we sit now on that solid rock. We need to understand that God is a God that cares for us. God is a God that wants us to worship Him. While there's a time for seriousness, there's also a time to be silent before God. Yes. We need to find a place that we can be silent before God. Whether it's in your closet, whether it's in your living room, wherever it is, you need to find a place that you can be silent before God. Pour your heart out to Him. Thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for what He has done. Thank Him for all the things that He has allowed you to have in this life. Thank Him for the blessings that He's given you. Thank Him for your family. Thank Him for your friends. Thank Him for your children. Thank Him for your home. Amen. Thank Him for your job. Thank Him for the money He's blessed you with. Amen. We need to pour out our hearts silently before God. Find a place that we can be silent before Him and just worship Him for what He has done for all His children. When we understand the words of God, they should lead us to the richest feelings of joy and contentment that we have ever known. God is pleased with the sound of our laughter, but the sight of our smiles are even more pleasing to Him. And by sharing of the pleasure we have gained from being in His presence, He takes great joy in knowing that people that come before Him come with a heart of thanks. Amen. God wants us to thank Him. God wants us to bless Him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. How can we rejoice when everything's going wrong? Well, Paul said, rejoice always. Rejoice through the troubles. Rejoice through the sorrow. Rejoice through the troubled times. Rejoice through the hard times. Rejoice through the good times. Rejoice always. Paul didn't say just rejoice when things are going good. He says rejoice in the Lord always. Have you ever sat in a service while the congregation was singing? There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and there are sweet expressions on his face. Only to look around to notice everyone has a frown on their face. Have you ever noticed that? People can sing songs of praise, sing songs that bring honor to God, but yet they look like they just ate a persimmon. That is not the way God wants us to look. God wants us to be joyful. Listen, I see a lot of things from up here that you don't see. And I've got to say, a lot of times, we don't look like the joy of the Lord is on our faces. We look like we've lost our best friend. We look like everything's going bad, like we've lost our best pet. Listen, we need to be joyous. Amen. We need to know God is on our side. We need to know God is blessing us even through the hard times, even through the bad times. Listen, I'm not talking about putting on a fake smile or phony expression of joy. We want to do is get to the point of being so into our worship of God that we can't help but want to express our gratitude to Him through joy. Worship is an act of celebration, not mourning and a funeral service. When we worship in this way, we express our love to God. In conclusion, if we could put up a scale from 1 to 10 to gauge where we are in the area of worship, how would you rate yourself? How would you rate yourself if you could put a scale up from 1 to 10? Do you worship God always, like Paul said? Or do you worship God only in the good times? Do you worship God when things are going bad? Do you worship God when things are indifferent? Do you worship God when things are not going your way? Listen, my friend, I would put that corporate worship in the symbol that we all should come together and worship God in a way that brings glory and honor to Him. Bring glory and honor to the God of heaven that has given us all things, that has allowed us to borrow all things, that allowed us to be all things. I know this kind of subjective, but if we're anywhere under a scale of 10, doesn't that tell us that there's something missing? Is there a way that we can begin to not only express our worship to God, but actually mean what we say in our songs and prayers every time we meet together? I believe there is. And if we'll start as soon as today in realizing that God is wanting us to worship Him. He's wanting us to worship Him in true worship. What does the Bible say? Those that love God must worship Him in truth and in spirit. When you begin to worship God, and you begin to thank Him for what He's done, for how much He has given you, for how much He has blessed you in this life, you will come to a point to where you will not only realize that God is a God of love, but that God is a God that blesses you. He is a God of blessing. He is a God of peace. He is a God of joy. He is a God that brings us everything we need in our life to sustain us. Listen, it was one of the hardest things I've ever faced when I lost my wife. But I take great joy in knowing she's in heaven today. She's where she longed to be. She's where she wanted to be with her dad. Yes, I hurt. Yes, it's hard on me. But I have to keep my mind focused on she's not in any more pain.
Amen.
She does not have any more problem breathing.
Amen.
And she is exactly where she wanted to be.
Right.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and bring Your word this morning. And Father, We pray for those that have lost loved ones. We know there's a void that is in their life that is going to be hard to fill, that even time will not fill that void. But Father, we can take great joy in knowing that if they were a Christian and they loved you, they're home with Jesus today. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the peace that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the joy you put in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for being with us even through our times of struggle and our times of heartache, that you said you would never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for the love. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to worship you and showing our love to you through our worship. We thank you, Lord, for that spirit that you've placed inside of us that helps us to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. Lord, as we come to the time of invitation, if there be anyone here that does not know you in true pardon of repentance, we pray, Father, that you would help them find you today. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.